Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Big news today from Calabasas-based Countrywide. Rumors were the mortgage giant was teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. No bankruptcy, a buyout instead by Bank of America. The $4 billion stock deal announced this morning is widely seen on Wall Street as saving one of the nation's biggest lenders from collapse. Countrywide's stumble over a year ago marked the start of the subprime mortgage market meltdown. Countrywide services roughly one out of every six loans in the nation. Schools, parks, prisons, hospitals. It would seem there's not a publicly provided service in this state that isn't facing the budget axe in the proposal Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger delivered yesterday. But as Tamara Keith reports from Sacramento, the state is facing a fiscal crisis, a $14 billion plus deficit over the next year and a half.
Facing the massive deficit, Governor Schwarzenegger says he chose a solution that's fair. A 10% across-the-board cut to virtually every state agency and program.
Some might say that it sounds easy to just cut across the board by 10%, but let me tell you, it is very difficult. I can see every single person hurt by those cuts, and I understand how difficult they will be for many, many people.
Schwarzenegger's annual budget press conference was short on good news. When Finance Director Mike Genest stepped up to lay out the details of the spending, more accurately, cutting plan, he held up a thick white binder.
I brought a little special effect to show you. There are over 500 individual proposals in this 10% cut that we're doing, and they're all in here.
They include slashing nearly $5 billion from Health and Human Services, reducing Medi-Cal benefits like dental and optometry, cutting $11 million in AIDS programs, and more. In other departments, the plan closes 48 state parks and eliminates thousands of prison guards. Here's Senate President Pro Tem Don Parada, a Democrat.
Right now, this budget is not one that anybody's going to be very proud of.
In corrections and rehabilitation, the plan saves about $250 million with the early release of 22,000 low-risk inmates. And K-12 education takes a $4.4 billion hit.
Believe me, the reaction will be very, very strong and very swift.
Kevin Gordon, an education lobbyist, says the governor's proposal amounts to a cut of more than $700 from every student in every classroom.
It is the Goliath of all budget cuts. I mean, we've never seen anything quite like this. So the magnitude is very severe. There's not a parent out there that's not going to feel the dramatic impacts of those cuts on their kids' classroom.
Those cuts would mean suspending Proposition 98, the school funding guarantee. And that requires support from both Republicans and Democrats. Democrats yesterday refused to draw any lines in the sand, but they made it clear they'd like to see tax and fee hikes to avoid some cuts. Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez.
Everything ought to be on the table. Everything. Particularly when you're talking about making cuts to public education, senior citizens, when you're talking about putting prisoners from jails out into the streets. That's why I'm calling for a conversation with the people of California.
On the Republican side, one conversation they absolutely don't want to have is about raising taxes. Assemblyman Roger Nilo says he'd like to see even more cuts, though it can go too far. He has serious concerns about the prisoner release proposal. Some in the Capitol have speculated the governor's dramatic proposals may be laying the groundwork for a tax increase of some kind. Nilo says he hopes not.
I am hopeful that some of the more difficult proposals are not crocodile tears, with the understanding that perhaps eventually taxes will be forthcoming to avoid some of those perceived moves.
The governor was asked about that, and Schwarzenegger said he and the legislature can't tax their way out of this problem. It wouldn't be fair to Californians.
I will not go back and ask them to increase their car tax. I don't want to go back and ask them for any tax increases. They deserve better than that. They deserve us to function well and to create a system that is more stable. That's what the people of California deserve.
Schwarzenegger also declared a fiscal state of emergency yesterday, asking the legislature to slice millions of dollars out of the current budget. Under state law, the deadline is 45 days away, February 23rd. No one expects it to be easy. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.
Political pundits are buzzing with speculation over who will replace Republican John Doolittle now that the 4th Congressional District of California is in play. Doolittle is retiring at the end of this year. The district has long been GOP territory, but due to Doolittle's connections with a convicted D.C. lobbyist Jack Abramoff, Democrats smell blood in the water, and Republicans are worried about it, as KXJZ's Ben Adler reports.
John Doolittle's political views mirror his rural district, which stretches from El Dorado County to the Oregon border. At his press conference, Doolittle quoted scripture and touted America's defeat of communism. But he said he recently realized he didn't love his job anymore.
I don't mind risking losing an election, but I really don't like the idea of winning the election and then being obligated to serve for 2 more years as the representative. I'm ready for a change. And once that came out of my mouth, which was a revelation to me at that point, I knew the decision was easy.
Doolittle has faced a lot of pressure recently, both from the Abramoff investigation and from those within his own party who didn't want him to run again. Republican political consultant Jeff Flint was one of them.
I think John Doolittle did the right thing for the district because he couldn't win. So what it does is it gives Republicans a chance to hold on a district that they should.
Flint says Doolittle has damaged the Republican brand in that district, so it'd be a mistake for the GOP to take the election for granted. Still, one political analyst calls Doolittle's seat a lifetime job for any Republican who wins it. That's why several are lining up for the race, including former state senator Rico Aller. The GOP candidate will take on Democrat Charlie Brown, who narrowly lost to Doolittle in 2006. For the California Report, I'm Ben Adler in Sacramento.
Finally today, one of the biggest surfing challenges on the West Coast rises from the Pacific Ocean. Mavericks is on for 8 a.m. tomorrow off Pillar Point, where 30-foot waves are expected to test 24 of the world's toughest surfers. StormSurf.com says a storm developed over the international dateline on Monday with 60-knot winds, then faded in the Gulf of Alaska, essentially sending waves toward Northern California like a slingshot, as the San Francisco Chronicle put it this morning. Organizers and local environmentalists suggest spectators will get the best views at their computers watching a free live webcast. That's the California Report for Friday, January 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, Tom Kimkowski, and Jim Bennett. Our director is Rory Gallagher. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor is Kat Snow. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. The producers are Victoria Malione and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.